It's time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by our friends at Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. Eric Meehan in studio with us, enjoying his newfound goal every week of coming up with an appropriate song for the segment.
Oh, it's the best. And now everybody wants to go home and watch Caddyshack, so Yes. You're welcome.
Yeah.
FYI, this is a public service announcement. Caddyshack 2, not the same.
No.
I went just to, and I know I share this with a lot of folks. I come from a rural part of New Jersey. Yes, they used to exist. And, you know, I would walk down my local, like, you know, corner store, and they would have, like, their terrible video collection that you could rent. And it was definitely, like, Caddyshack 2 and, like, all the, it was not.
Grease 2.
It was, yeah, it was no, like, and I grew up actually watching Caddyshack 2. I thought that, like, Jackie Mason was the star of Caddyshack. And Robert Stack was the bad guy in that one. But I knew who Robert Stack was because of Unsolved Mysteries and stuff. Yes. So I was like, yeah, of course these people. Mm. And then I saw Back to School, and I was like, this guy Rodney Dangerfield's not funny at all. I was wrong. I gave him no respect, but that was his bit, so that's
right.
Okay.
It was perfect. So I'm all right. There's method to your madness.
There's method to my madness. So we're drinking. We're talking about mead today, right? We're finishing up with our month of talking about how to cook with alcohol and the various different alcohols that we stock in the Bangor Wine and Cheese Company that you can play around with in the kitchen and stuff like that. Today we're doing mead, and the mead that I have selected is from Bee Nectar in Michigan. It is their Kill All the Golfers homage to the great Caddyshack. This is mead made with, this is basically an Arnold Palmer, and made with mead, and it's quite nice.
Oh,
and you throw
my.
This over some ice, it really is, very refreshing. So,
that is delightful.
So if you've seen the movie, you get the reference. And of course, if you like Arnold Palmer's, you should like this sort of thing. Is there a more perfect drink in the world than an Arnold Palmer? I don't know.
Not many. No. Mm-hmm.
Maybe a really good Manhattan, but I don't know. Something for non-alcoholic beverages, I must say. Although this one is alcoholic, mind you, just in case anybody's wondering, because that's what we do. But before I launch into that, I just got back literally from a trade show, and I just kind of wanted to talk about something that I experienced that you all out there may be experiencing. And I was really blown away and kind of captivated by this. So we're going to go back a month when we were talking about packaging. And I for the first time, I went and I looked into the Gotham Project. Now, the Gotham Project is started by two young men. The more wine-oriented one that people probably know is Charles Beeler. At this time of year, Beeler Perifi Rosé from Provence is pretty ubiquitous. Very, very well known. He's teamed up with a lot of different people. So this one, and I took note initially because I was looking at their list of wines, and I was noticing actual really cool varietals, like totally off the beaten path varietals, things like Moscofilero and Roditis from Greece, like fantastic grapes, really cool, really geeky stuff. And so I asked about them, and I tried several of these wines. And of course, the concept essentially the same as when we would talk about, you know, kegged beer, or when we would talk about boxed wine, essentially no oxidization happening in these wines. Mm. And the freshness quality was undeniable. It was really, really cool. So if you find yourself out at, you know, I mean, they're obviously tailor-made for restaurants, although I did, in case anybody's interested in wine at home in a keg, I know I am because they have a really good rosé, and a keg of rosé would be like the Uber jam. I don't know if I'd survive it, but I'd like to try. But I do have information. I chatted with the representative there about changing over a kegerator. It's pretty easy, actually, to do one of these wine lines. So if you're curious, please come on in and I can show you that. But yeah, if you're out at a restaurant and they're offering wine, you know, from a keg, take advantage of it. I was really pleasantly surprised. And, you know, as we're coming into the summer months where people are going to be out, you know, having nice glasses of fresh white wine, rosé, things like that. Although they do have some serious, they have a very good Malbec, for instance. So they're doing reds as well. But check them out. Don't be afraid. You know, I'm battle tested now, so it's got my seal of approval.
Perfect.
Very, very cool stuff. So check that out. Back to Mead. So what is Mead, right? Like, we're all, you know, we're all in Game of Thrones mode, and, you know, everybody is always thinking, like, Mead is, like, you know, and Vikings and all of these things, and what is it, right? At the base subsurface, or not even subsurface, at the base level, it's honey wine, right? It's honey wine. It's sugar that you ferment, comes from bees. That's it, right? Honey. Where it starts to deviate, and then they do it, you know, they create a slurry with water, and then you ferment it. There are some cultures that differentiate between mead and honey wines, specifically because of the yeast that they'll use. If they use a beer yeast strain to ferment versus a wine yeast strain, in the particular one we're doing today is a beer yeast strain, so I guess people would, you know, certainly classify that as a mead as opposed to a honey wine. But essentially, when you're asking about it, that's what it is. And so just know that. It's an extraordinarily varied beverage. In terms of viscosity, I mean, you can have a very lean, you know, it will sort of, the mouthfeel will be like a light, you know, Sauvignon Blanc or something like that, all the way to, you know, syrup, and everything in between. It's very interesting. There's no kind of like catch-all, which is great, but just be aware that if you like mead, it doesn't mean you like all mead.
This seems to be on the lighter side.
Yeah. I mean, this is supposed to be, you know, refreshing. And I think that's sort of the point. You know, if you have some of these denser, heavier, meads, they're more of a, I won't say a shot, but, you know, a tiny bit at a time, perhaps as an after dinner drink or, a before dinner drink, but something that wouldn't really carry through, I think, would just be just too much. It would be like, you know, drinking maple syrup. Of course, if anybody's seen Super Troopers, you know that that is possible. It's disgusting, but it's possible. The percentage is also vary widely, right? So you can't just pin it down by, oh, mead will really get me drunk. There's some that are 8%. There's some that are 20%+. Okay, so just know what you're drinking, I guess, is my point. There's sparkling versions. There's versions like the one we're having today that are mixed, pre-mixed with things. There's flavored ones. There's plain ones. There's semi-sweet ones. There's dry ones. There's a huge gamut, which is really cool. But again, it'll take you asking some questions, perhaps, or reading, you know, what's in the bottle, just so you know. Certainly, mead is much more present now in the wake of the craft beer boom, which is kind of funny because I don't understand exactly the correlation between craft beer and mead, except for their sort of artisan qualities, small production qualities, because a lot of them just don't have anything to do with each other, you know. Mead is its own uniquely special thing, especially because the honey gives a very unique finish. It's almost like a spicy finish that's pretty pretty consistent. That's almost the universal, is that slight spicy finish. But I mean, you know, people have been doing it in Maine for years and years and years. You know, Bob Bartlett of Bartlett Winery out in Gouldsboro has been doing it for 30 years. But then there's other people who have just started and are doing very well, like Fat Friars down in Newcastle. Makes wonderful stuff. I think last year we tried one of his on air. It goes back forever, right? Mead is, the first evidence that we have is from 7,000 BC in China. 7,000 BC.
Wow.
Right. First, European evidence is from 3000 BC. The first mention of it in a text was in the Rig Veda, an ancient, Hindu text that was, dates from about 1700 to 1100 BC.
They were texting then?
They were texting
then. They were an advanced culture.
But they weren't driving.
Well, that's
unlike okay. The person in front of me as I was driving here.
Oh boy.
It's okay. They didn't kill anybody, but I was ready to kill them. Yeah, it's true. We're watching you. So obviously the traditions are deep, and yet where did it go, right? Like, where did mead go? It really kind of fell out of fashion. It was treated as, I mean, even today, it, you know, you think more Game of Thrones / Viking invasion than you do something to sip on the golf course, right? Like we're enjoying right now. So it's kind of weird. We're working around it. You know, it still feels like a niche product, even though it's you know, probably it's growing by probably double digits every year at this point. So just kind of interesting. And, you know, since we're finishing talking about recipes, meads, because of their variety, can be used in a ton of different ways. We've made slushies with mead, with the Maine Meadworks blueberry one, that was actually fabulous. Mm-hmm. There's a number of glazes, like a wonderful pork glaze that you can make with something that's maybe a little more viscous that can kind of cook down a little bit. So check things out, like that out. You'll be surprised. And then you pour yourself a little bit. It's really, really good. And people just don't think about cooking with mead, but I think, you know, we can get into it. I am quickly running out of time, so I will let you all know that next month our tasting will be on May 16th, which is indeed the next month. May, I know.
Woo.
I know. And at the end of next month, I'm going to have a 9-year-old daughter.
Yeah. How did that happen?
More mead, please. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Please stick around. Next month, we're going to be talking appellations, which means, you know, where wine comes from and why it comes from there. Because in June, as we always do, we launch into touring the world of wine, which is always a lot of fun. So tune in next month to get primed for the world tour, which starts in June. And after June, I'll be 29. That's not true. My birthday's in June, but I won't be 29.
No, you will not. I know how old you'll be.
Yeah. My daughter's aging me quickly. My daughter, I love my daughter. I miss my daughter and my son, and I'm not going to say anything bad about them. I need to give them a hug. That's, yeah. You know, as much as you can't stand your kids, what you spend one night away from them, you're like,
right?
I just need a hug from my son.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll see you here all next Tuesday.
All
cheers.
Right. Thanks, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon.